Luke 23:44-49. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. The scriptures read tonight are such familiar passages, it's sometimes hard to see them fresh with new eyes. But God reminded me of a quote I read recently that said, "You need no new insights. You need only to receive what you've already been given." What we've been given here, I think, is a picture, a model of intimacy. In darkness, Jesus committed his spirit. In Matthew's gospel, it says he yielded up his spirit. The ultimate act of vulnerability. And the curtain or veil of the temple, the separation of the holy from the most holy, is rended, making a way into God's presence. The earth shook and the rocks were split, leading to resurrection, to life. I like that word yielded. He yielded up his spirit. In its simplest form, traffic terms, yielding is this act of holding back so that someone else can move forward. God yielding to God, this mysterious dance that the Trinity does. So when Jesus says, "Follow me," clearly we too must come to the end of ourselves. Thomas Kelly says it's not something we do with clenched fists. I will. Relax, he says. Take your hands off. Submitting ourselves means learning to live in the passive voice and to let life be willed through you. For I will spells not obedience. We can wear ourselves out fighting this design of God. I came to this stuck place not too long ago. So I met with a mentor, and she suggested I try sitting before God and praying, "Lord, here I am." As she was suggesting, I was taking notes, and I said, "Okay, that sounds good, then what?" And she said, "That's it. Just see what happens." No Bible, no journal, no worship music, no Christian book, no prayer list, just offering myself to God. It's so much harder than it sounds, but it loosened something in me. One morning, we were here in the sanctuary during worship, and my heart was so tired and restless. I said, "Lord, here I am. I can't sing. I don't know what any of these words mean anymore." And I looked around, and some of you were worshiping so beautifully, and I thought, "I just want to go." And I had this experience of God, and these are always hard to put into words rightly, but I had this experience of God coming and kissing my forehead and my eyelids and my nose and my cheeks, and no words, but I just felt this sort of, as if to say, "Stay, it's all right. You've just given me what I want most, your honest heart." Not at all how I thought God would respond, but in a split second, my dry, itchy spirit was quenched and completely set at ease. Maybe this is what Christ meant in the Beatitudes when he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Pure in heart meaning honest, not all cleaned up. Because in the end, all we really have to offer him is our honest heart, our spirit. I'll finish with these words from Virginia Owen. "Good Friday is the day when you can do nothing. Bewailing and lamenting your manifold sins does not in itself make up for them. Scouring your soul in a frenzy of spring cleaning only sterilizes it. It does not give it life. On Good Friday, finally, we are all mourners and mockers alike, reduced to the same impotence. Someone else is doing the terrible work that gives life to the world."